T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Radio home of the Buffalo Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
Here's your March 16th sports update and a result that will reshape the NFL and bring about labor harmony for the next 11 seasons. NFL Players Association members voted to ratify a new collective bargaining agreement that was previously approved by the NFL owners in February. With a 1,019-959 majority vote that concluded at 11:59 p.m. on Saturday, the players signed off on a new CBA that will begin with the upcoming 2020 season and extend through the 2030 campaign. Notable changes in the new deal include the addition of two more teams to the NFL playing field for 2020 season. Per NFL Network's Tom Pelissero, an option to increase the regular season to 17 games starting in 2021 and increases in minimum salaries, performance-based pay, and player revenue. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are franchise tagging Barrett. NFL Network inside Ian Rappaport reported per a source informed by the Buccaneers' plans. The NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reported Monday that the Atlanta Falcons plan to release Desmond Trufant. Per a source informed of the decision, the team tried to trade Trufant to no available, added NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. The Kansas City Chiefs are hanging on to top running back Damian Williams. The NFL insider Ian Rappaport reported Monday that Kansas City plans to pick up the contract option for Williams. Per a source informed of the decision, the option will earn Williams $2.3 million in 2020. The Tennessee Titans and Ryan Tannehill have agreed to terms on a four-year extension worth $118 million, including $62 million fully guaranteed money and $91 million in total guarantees. Not bad, 3% for his agent. Speaking of agents, Steve Bartlett joining the show, friend of the show, friend of mine, my former agent. River, if you were smart, you would have had him. Mr. Bartlett, how are you today?
I'm well, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Oh,
doing fantastic.
Like, it's hard to find, it's not hard to find content to talk about, but it would be nice if we had games, eh?
No, I agree. I'm used to being a filler on your show when there isn't much going, but this may reach an all-time high.
You're
reaching out to me on the slowest sports day in probably history.
You know why we're reaching out to you right now? It's because we are in need. We are in need of information. Last time we reached out to you guys, it's like July 1. It's all the deadline stuff. It's the big time stuff. So we bring you in for the big game, Steve. How's everything going with you?
We're all scrambling. Well, like everybody else, we're trying to figure out this new world order and the restrictions and what we need to do to be safe for ourselves and our families, but for the most part, keep some semblance of normal life. So, it's easy for me. I'm sitting in the office doing the same work I'd be doing this time of year no matter what, but you are sensitive to other people whose lives are much more disrupted and who are facing a lot more adversity than I am.
How are you getting a lot of calls from your players, and what is their concern? What's their biggest concern?
Well, I think a lot of them, their biggest concern is the uncertainty, as we all have. And I think, are we going to get going? Do you think we'll get going? How do we stay in shape? We're not supposed to congregate. How do we work out? What if we start up? How am I going to be able to perform? But I just try to assure them that everybody's in the same boat, and whatever happens. And at the end of the day, the most important thing is for them to stay calm and worry about their health and their families, and hoping we can stop the spread of this thing and get life back the way we all come to expect it.
Where are these players getting all their information from? Are the trainers contacting them? Are general managers contacting them directly? Coaches? I mean, like from what you've or in the players you've talked to, like who are they in contact with?
I think it's been largely directed through the Players Association, who's done an excellent job of keeping the guys informed. I don't know if you guys got wind of it, but I literally just moments before coming on with you got an update from the Players Association that due to the latest CDC recommendations that they've given a little bit longer time frame and given the players the ability to go to the home of their choosing, not only here but in Europe or wherever in the world, knowing that the time frame has been extended, so that as of yesterday it was stay close to your home city and don't even cross the Canadian border because of quarantine requirements there for anybody even crossing the U.S.-Canada border. But just a few minutes ago we got an update from the NHLPA saying that now they've agreed that up until the end of the month they're free to go to the home of their choice, if that means Europe or whatever, although I know some airport restrictions are making that more difficult for guys. So everybody's up in the air in terms of you know, what the situation is. Some want to get back to closer to where they consider to be their true home rather than their playing home, and others will just hunker down where they are, and we'll all wait this out together.
Steve Bartlett joining us from the Bartlett Group, not sports consulting anymore, but the Bartlett Group. He's got the boys alongside with him. What, Steve, players are still getting paid, and that's going to continue?
Yes, my understanding is, unless something drastic happens, that the players will get paid for the rest of the regular season, which is a very good news economically to the guys. I think fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, we were well deep into the season, and probably there was a couple of paychecks left because, as many of the fans may or may not know, the players only get paid during the season, not on a year-round basis. So probably 85% of their pay had already been received. So, you know, economically, no one's going to get their violins out for the hockey players. There's a lot of people in the world that are being affected far more drastically with paycheck-to-paycheck type jobs. And so I think economics are the least of their worries, and certainly the least of my worries for them. But it does appear that the plan is for the players to get paid, even at the American League level and you know, the lower league, which is probably a lot more important to those guys.
Can we look at the economic situation that the league might have and how they might handle this? I mean, what kind of effect will this have on, obviously not the players' salaries, as you mentioned, they'll continue to get paid, but HRR, salary cap, has that conversation been discussed, or have you heard any suggestions that they might, or how they might handle this?
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody that's gotten too deep into it, just because there's so much uncertainty as to exactly, you know, will we save any of this season? If not, then you know, will there be modifications to next season? You know, there's so many variables that nobody, I think, can predict. They may, at the above my pay grade, may be discussing it, but I think, in my opinion, it's largely a case of where most of the pain will probably come next year. If it, you know, the economics of the game are going to be affected. So escrow, which has always been a hot topic for the players, undoubtedly will take a hit. But I think the understanding I have of the way the CBA works, that the escrow shortfall, if you want to call it that, where the players may be subjected to some payback of sorts, will actually carry forward into the next year or two, rather than, you know, asking players to literally write checks back for this season.
So have you seen any, Riv, were you just about to say something?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, have you seen what the NBA is thinking about doing? Like, once they come back, you have May and then June play through August. I mean, Is that a scenario, not that maybe you've heard, but is that something that you could see, or a structure that you could see working, where maybe we just push the season, let the players play through the summer, give them October, November off, and then restart the season in December? That way everybody can make whole on their situation.
Well, it's certainly something that bears discussion, and I know the players want to play. They don't, you know, especially guys who are getting late in their career that happened to think, or even early in their career, they thought they were in a particularly good position to be a Stanley Cup challenger this year. I'm sure it's really disappointing to have, you know, this situation that none of us could have even imagined in our wildest dreams. And I don't think they want to let go of that hope that this was our year or this was my season or whatever it may be. So I think there'd be a lot of flexibility. First and foremost, I think everybody's going to be extremely relieved when we start to show signs of moving in the right direction with this scare rather than waiting every day for news that's going the wrong direction. So I think there'll be a great deal of excitement, a great deal of relief once we get to that point. And then I think everybody would be more than willing to give up what traditionally has been the off season if there's a way to come close to saving what we all had hoped would be the case.
Steve Bartlett joining us on the line right now from Rochester with Bartlett Hockey, a longtime agent in the game. You can follow them at Bartlett Hockey on Twitter. And kind enough to join us here and give us a little bit of an update on what's going on the players' side of the world. Riv, you had something you wanted to mention?
Well, has there been any discussion or have you heard any discussion on what would be the drop-dead date for the season to be shut down?
I have not. And again, I think this is really a moving target as we all read the news. And here on TV every morning, there's different recommendations from the CDC and everything else, and I certainly don't have any inside information to share other than my own personal opinion is, unless this thing does a complete turnaround very soon, I think, in my opinion, the best hope for the league would be to basically turn it into a television event where I just can't see in the near future where they're going to allow large crowds to gather. It doesn't seem to be the trend. It seems the opposite. So it just my own personal opinion is I think the best chance would be to get sort of a contained group of athletes that are kind of quarantined as a team or teams and put it in a situation where maybe we all are able to sit there and enjoy the game we love, but watching it on TV rather than in person. That's just, like I said, just a gut feeling that I have, and I hope I'm proven totally wrong.
I don't think anyone in this panel's ever had to fight with nobody in the crowd. The old 7 a.m. the old 7 a.m. training camp fights, when no one's there. They aren't fun. No one wants to play a game with no crowd. Steve Bartlett joining us on the line. What about prospects? I was thinking about this on the way in, like the draft, and I mentioned this to Riv too. Like, I know you have a lot of prospects too for the draft each and every year, and you sit and you wonder. This is crunch time for them to raise their draft stock.
Well, it certainly is, and like I said, we're just completely in uncharted waters, and I feel bad for the young kids whose hopes and dreams are, you know, based on some of the events that were going to take place over the next several weeks, and I hope, you know, that we find out that many of them can go on. But we had the U18 World Championships, which is a huge draft event in Plymouth, Michigan, which, is in serious jeopardy. I don't think it's been canceled yet, but certainly in jeopardy. And then you've got the Combine right there in Buffalo, which also, I guess, you know, you have to wonder if it is in jeopardy. And then, obviously, the big event, the draft. And, you know, that would be complicated again. If the league starts playing again, say in June, you know, can you pull off a draft at the same time that you're hoping to be playing games? So, you know, like I said, we're all speculating. We're all wondering. We're all hopeful, at the same time fearful of what could happen. But first and foremost, I think on everybody's mind, hockey fans and every person everywhere, is let's get over this hump. Let's get our country and our nation and our world back to where we're all feeling comfortable about doing the things that we've come to just take as a norm.
Do you know of any players, either your own or other players, that have been tested for the virus?
I do not. We have not, to my knowledge, had any player tested or any player that's indicated to us that they've shown any symptoms. So I'm thankful for that. And I hope that trend continues, and I hope that continues for everybody.
Well, what are they going to do? I mean, like, would they consider, are they going to test every player? Can they test every player? Do they even have the capacity?
I think, again, it goes back to that self-quarantine period where, you know, everybody that I've talked to, and again, this is far from my area of expertise, is they, because the tests are limited and because they, you know, the people that really need them are the areas of the country or the world that really need them, I think they're asking people to basically, you know, self-quarantine yourself, and if you don't have any symptoms, then we're going to kind of assume that, you know, at least at that point in time, you're fine. If you have symptoms, then we're going to test you. So It's like I said, this is all so surreal to all of us that, you know, we're in this thing and we're all trying to keep a great attitude, which I think is important, that people don't get wrapped up in unnecessary fear or paranoia about it. At the same time, you have to be smart. And at the end of the day, you know, first and foremost, we all miss our sports, and sports are a great healing, and we know they'll come back. But at the same time, we have to do what's right for ourselves and our family to make sure that we get this thing turned around.
Steve, I'm almost 40. Like, I'll be 40 in May. And I was thinking, I don't remember anything in my through my childhood or my life that has ever altered the entire world like this has.
Well, I'm a lot older than you, and I don't either. So
that's why I led with that, you know, because I knew that you might be able to have some a little more veteran insight on that.
I have a much more veteran view on it, and no, I can't think of any of us that, you know, obviously the short-term effects of 9/11 and some other events, world events that, you know, certainly have shaken us to the core, but usually, you know, we pick up and recover quickly. This is sort of an unknown, and I think keeping a positive attitude and not letting this thing get you down is important for all of us. At the same time, being realistic and understanding that as much as we miss our hockey, our football, our basketball, our youth sports, at the end of the day, priority number one for all of us is to, you know, get safe and get past this so that we can get back to everything that we love and is so part of the fabric of our daily life.
Well, as me being standing as we speak, I'm an unfiled taxpayer, right? So is there going to be any extension on that April 15th tax deadline, or are we going to get any kind of leverage or help from the government on deadline?
I actually got in touch with the IRS today, and I tried to convince them that we could call it the Peters Rule, but I'm not sure if they'll comply. But I think there's a very good chance. I mean, with all the economic impact, and it's kind of twofold, because with the economic pain of people who are, you know, not getting their paycheck to paycheck jobs or everything else, or people that used to sell stocks to pay their tax bill, I could see an extension or some sort of forgiveness for interest or something on payments, even if the returns have to be filed on time. So, as you know, I do an awful lot of tax work for all the players. So I told a couple guys yesterday, I'm self-quarantined this time of year anyways. I just don't go anywhere except the office doing tax returns. So
it's almost, you know, I mean, if, you know, we want to make light of a scenario, I mean, I guess it's the perfect scenario for an accountant.
Well, yeah, we don't expect to see our families much this time of year anyway, so just call DoorDash or Grubhub, and we're just happy sitting here in the office 24/7.
Just make sure they deliver it with a mask and gloves, eh?
Exactly.
Riv, you got something you want to say over there?
No, all good.
What are some of your guys doing, Steve, to stay busy? I mean, like, where are they at? What are they doing? How many guys are going home?
I want to know if guys have has the NHL teams given these guys like a certain training program? Like, some guys may not have a treadmill or bike or whatever, but has the NHL given the players like a bit of a training program?
Bob Rowski is a tennis ball machine. That's all.
It really varies by team. I certainly have talked to guys who have been in close contact with their, you know, their team strength and conditioning guys trying to get tips. So I think by and large, guys are pretty up to speed in terms of, you know, some of the things they can do. And I'm, as anyone that looks at me knows, I'm not the world's guru on fitness, but I think there's a lot of, you know, body weight exercises and stuff like that. Many of the guys have, you know, some sort of exercise equipment at home, which, you know, maybe was even their wives were using, or their kids even, you know, whether it's treadmills or elliptical machines or whatever. And certainly getting out and running and stuff like that is, you know, not prohibited, as long as you're not doing it in groups of 51, doing a mini marathon. But I think, you know, everybody takes a lot of pride, and obviously for the next few weeks they'll keep that focus. If it drags on beyond that, then we might have to go back to a mini or maxi training camp before we could play again.
Steve, you're the man. Thank you so much for your time today. What are you watching on Netflix these days? I know you're a big TV guy.
I'm a huge TV guy. I watched Jack Ryan a couple of times that I thought was pretty good. I watched Harry Bosch, which is a detective. I've read a lot of his books and enjoyed that. And So, yes, sometimes at night we all need that little hour of tune out the world's goings on and drop off into fantasy for a while. So it's good for all of us.
Well, true or false, you were once into the Bachelor, Bachelorette, weren't you?
Yeah, just very little bit, but that has waned. I can't say I'm a fan anymore. It's just gotten to be too much drama, and I don't know. It's too soap opery for me. So
Rivs is scratching his head over here.
Literally shaking my head over this. It's just
I can't take it anymore. To me, it's yeah.
But you had to, Steve. You had to do it. You had to talk to the players about it. That's what the guys were watching at the time.
They wanted to know, which of the Bachelorettes I thought would be the best fit for them, and so as their confidant and agent and advisor. Sometimes I had to at least give my two cents on that, but I've sort of backed off on that.
Back in the day, I asked Steve if he had a Hollywood connection to set me up with a celebrity. I remember I was over at Steve's house, and I remember saying, "Hey, you don't happen to have a contact for
me on the Bachelor.
So-and-so's agent." Anyway, you gotta try, right? Just gotta say hello.
I probably saved you by not having that connection.
Yes, no, I think you actually might have, Steve. Hey, thanks very much for your time, man.
All right,
enjoy,
guys, have a great
and
day.
Tell the players to stay safe.
Yeah, you guys too, and everybody out there, stay safe and healthy.
All right, take care. Thanks very much, Steve Bartlett, kind enough to join us here. I think it's fascinating. It'd be fascinating to be an agent and just hear what these players are thinking, because you got to be getting calls left, right, and center. I mean, any information. I know you're trying to get information. What are you looking at? Like, it's true. Players want to know what's going on. Players are desperate to get any kind of information at any time. Even if the NHLPA's given all the information that they have, or your team, these guys still...
There's always more out there.
There's always more that you hope for, and you just hope that your agents have that information. And, nobody does. No one has any more information than the next one. I don't think the league knows how they're going to handle this.
Yeah, it's a sit and wait, and it's very interesting that that did come out from the NHLPA and the NHL that they're now allowing players to go back to their, real homes, wherever that is. And this is not going to be, a short-term thing. It's you're looking at a couple months with absolute minimum. And, you just kind of every day, hope that this virus is starting to slowly die off. But they're taking all the precautions, and hopefully things can get better.
We'll be right back. Hopefully things can get better. Hopefully we can get hockey, but we're not in a rush for that. Everybody get healthy and flatten out this line of – did you see – Governor Cuomo the other day said something I thought was amazing. He said, and it was interesting because it's just something you never take into perspective, because everyone's like, oh, this thing's going to take off. It's going to spike. And he made the point. He said, we're going to see numbers increase. And he said, it's not because necessarily the virus is spreading, as it is, but he said it's because we actually have tests to test people. So, there were no real tests available. And now that they're getting more and more tests and things like that, you're going to see numbers go up, because eventually you can start to test these people that are sick. So I watched his whole press conference. Mark Poloncarz was kind enough to respond. We were trying to get him on today too, but obviously they're very, very busy with dealing with all the stuff that's going on with the coronavirus. Stick around with the Instigators. River's going to give us five things that if today, how did you word it? If the season were over today and the off season were starting.
Yeah, like if
five things you'd want to see the Sabres do.
Yes.
And this will be an ongoing discussion. Other things we're going to do over time here, I'm going to ask Rib to bring in one thing every day from his playing days, whether it's a jersey, a stick, a medal, anything he can tell a story about. I'll do the same. Marty will be in tomorrow. We'll have Elliot on Thursday, Dregs on Friday, so show's going to roll as usual. So more Instigators to come.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got
you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Here's some things you might see on the Instigators in the next coming weeks, months, as we wait for the NHL season to hopefully resume. Going to try to get Craig to start hosting some shows. I think it's time for him to take the next step. Co-host Craig Rive should become host Craig Rive on some days. We're going to get Riv hosting some shows. We're going to bring in some stuff from our career. A little show and tell. Obviously can't show you if you're listening on the radio. But we'll paint the picture for you. Just so
what you're saying to me, in order to have success, Linus Allmark is now going to try left wing. And Jack Eichel apparently is moving back to defense.
What? What are you talking about?
Everybody has their roles. You do your roles, and you will have success.
Which one are you? Are you Allmark, the unproven number one, but number one? Or are you Jack, the absolute $10 million stud star?
I'm neither.
Let me guess. You're Sam. You Victor? Skinner?
I'm none of them. I'm retired.
This year you've been retired. This year you're Skinner. You're having a tough year.
Sure. Still getting paid nine schmilly.
Better be overpaid than underpaid. Hey, isn't that what they say in the NHL? All right. Well, that being said, so who are you then?
None of them.
You're retired.
Okay. I am retired.
So you don't have to
do your job, and we will all have success.
I'm glad it all falls on my shoulders then. What are we going to talk about? Five things. Five things that you'd want to see. I don't know where this stems from, but this is your topic. So I'm just going to
This is just from being on Twitter, just kind of reading and scrolling and having a tremendous amount of time on my hands. And, there was someone that brought up, listen, hey, what would happen if the season was over? What would happen if the season was over? What would be five things that you would like to see happen for the Sabres in the offseason?
Are you asking me, or are you just kind of telling me what was brought up and you have your own answers? Because I'm not talking like the season's over. Because the season's not over yet. So I don't want to do this pretend nonsense. But go ahead. Give me your five things. We have 10 minutes.
All right. I'll give you my nonsense. Since we have so many things to talk about here today, we're overloaded.
We are overloaded.
Five things. Everybody knows, and it's well documented, that I like Josh Anderson.
Everybody love everybody.
And I will say again, he is a big man. He is fast. He's shown in this league that he has the ability to score goals. Scored, 27, 28 the year before. This year, he was injured. He has had off-season shoulder surgery. That doesn't mean he's damaged goods. It means that he is repairing himself, and he will be ready to rock and roll.
Who are we talking about?
Josh Anderson.
Is this coronavirus is doing him a huge favor in terms of healing?
I would listen. I mean, it's doing him it doesn't matter. He had the surgery, a month back or 3 weeks ago. He is going to be more than ready to start next season. He is a very big man. He skates exceptionally well. He has a nice skill set. And listen, in this league, size, physicality, ability to skate, he is a guy that absolutely 100% I would want the Sabres to go after. That's number one. Number two, we need a second line center. And I look around the league, there are not a lot of available players out there that can fit this bill. I've gone through every single team. I'm sure, you know, the Sabres have done their due diligence. You've done your due diligence.
We did it together. Go ahead.
Okay.
You are the I in team, eh?
Dylan Strome from Chicago is a very interesting player. He's had a solid season in Chicago. He had a fantastic season in Chicago last year when he was traded there. He's still very young at age 23. I think he has a huge upside still in his game. The question is, can the Chicago Blackhawks afford to sign a player like this? And I think that they're going to be up against the cap. They've got a lot of contracts that still need to be signed. And so he's always an interesting one. The other one is for a second-line center that I think can grow into this position is McCann from Pittsburgh. 18 goals this year, I think he has. And, you know, obviously, if he had more of an opportunity, I think that he would produce even more. And I think he would be a very interesting player for the Sabres to look at. That's number two. Number three.
Don't rush. We still have time. You're flying through this. This is your segment.
Well, we can discuss these.
Clearly not, because you haven't asked me my opinion on anything. You just told me what we're doing.
You asked me to go through my five.
Okay, we can converse on the way through.
Okay.
I mean, we don't have to just rifle off your five.
Anything from Josh Anderson in number one?
No, it was great.
I think we both love him.
That was great. That was
right? We love him. Big, fast, physical, can score goals. No brainer. I don't care what you got to get.
And you want McCann where?
I would look at him to be a second line center, possibly third line center on this team.
I liked your Strome one better. I liked your Strome one, and it's, you know what it is? We built a team in the back.
Yes.
And I'll get through your five things. I'll give you your five things, and I don't want to give away too much in the back. But Anderson and Strome alone make your team bigger. Just size. Like, I mean, when you're skating around in warm-up, okay, and it doesn't matter who the players are on the other team, and you just see a big group of players.
Yep.
You're kind of like, man, they're big. They're big. And that factors into the mental side of the game. Bigger's a little harder to play against. You got to move stronger, bigger bodies off pucks. You know, maybe some of those big guys, some of them don't. Some of them are you know, not scary at all.
Yep.
But then some of them are also very hard to play against, and they're tenacious, and they have a little bit of bite to their game, and they add a little bit. And
we need a little bit of bite, but we also need more skill too.
That's what I'm saying. Like Anderson brings both of that. Strome brings the size and the skill and the stabilization at second line. My question is, just with those two players alone, and I'm truly not trying to ruin your day. How the hell are you going to get these guys? What are you going to have to give up to get Strome, who went one pick behind Jack? Okay, third overall. He's put up some pretty good numbers over the last couple years. Had a rough start to the career.
Yep.
Ever since he got to Chicago, he's putting up good numbers. Little bit of a dip this year in terms of statistics, but still pretty good numbers. Right?
Well, let me ask you this. What's the one thing that bodes very, very well for the Buffalo Sabres moving into this offseason?
High draft pick?
No.
Oh, I know. I know exactly where you're going. Chicago can't pay him.
Chicago's, I didn't ask that question.
Buffalo has money.
Buffalo has cash. Not money. They do not have money.
They have
a ton of money. They're one of the teams that will have the most amount of money in this coming offseason. That bodes extremely well for the Buffalo Sabres. Now, here's the thing. When you look at the National Hockey League, there are teams that load up and try and win. But there are a lot of teams that don't win, that have to unload in the next year because they can't afford to keep everybody. They've got to sign younger players. Like, take example, the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're right at the, they're have a lot of money spent on their top players, but they still have to sign Sergachev. They still have to sign Cirelli. I mean, they're going to be
somebody else's contract kicks in, I think, this year too. Yeah, on their, or maybe I'm thinking Chicago and DeBrincat.
So that's that in Chicago. They're
like DeBrincat kicks in at six.
They're already.
They don't have a goalie next year. They traded Leonard at five. Crawford's going to leave. They'll have to get a goalie. They're going to have all those guys on IR coming back. Patrick Kane. You see how much money they have on IR?
Absolutely. You still have Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews making $10.5 million. That's $21 million. You still have Brandon Saad making $6 million. You have DeBrincat that's going to be making $6.4
million. Entertain me on how you would even start the conversation for Dylan Strome.
Mittelstadt, 100%.
Okay, and what?
Mittelstadt is a very young player that has upside. There is no question about that. I think Dylan Strome is a player that is more established than Casey Mittelstadt, but Mittelstadt has a very, very solid upside.
I wouldn't even say that Strome's established yet. I'd say he's starting to establish
himself.
But he's not established. Established would be putting up consistent points for 3-4 years, like in the 50-60 range for him. That's established.
Listen, I mean, he's 23 years old. He was a third overall draft pick behind Connor McDavid and Jack Eichel. So he's a very good player. Last year he started in Arizona and then got traded to Chicago. He finished the season with 57 points. This year, he has 38 points in 58 games. So if he plays a full season, you know, you're looking at him being definitely over a 50-point-plus player again. But I think he has upside. I think he has more to give in this game. He's still only 23, and I think he has more to give. So I think he's a very interesting player. I just feel that they're going to have to pay him. There's guys like the Dominic, I don't even know how to say his name, Kubalak or whatever. Kubalak, who scored, he's got 30 goals this year as a 24-year-old rookie. He's going to be paid for what he's produced. And they have a tremendous amount of money that's going to not be on long-term IR. Brent Seabrook had multiple surgeries this year. But guess what?
He's got
8 or 9 months to heal before he comes back. He's coming back, and he will be on their salary. Calvin DeHaan, who makes $4.5 million. He's coming back on the salary. You have Andrew Shaw, makes $4 million. He is going to be back on the salary. They're going to be in cap hell, and they're not going to be able to sign everybody.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is, can we go and get a more established young player in a Dylan Strome and give up a player like Mittelstadt, who's still on an entry-level deal?
Yep, I agree. And it'll take more than Mittelstadt, but I would not, and you know Chicago's going to want him.
Don't even say his name.
Same first name. They want Dylan for Dylan.
It's a non-starter. When you look at players in this organization, I would say Jack Eichel and Rasmus Dahlin. We've talked about it many times.
And that's my question. Do you need Dylan Strome if you have a Dylan Cousins who projects to be like a Dylan Strome?
Yes, because you know what's going to happen? All the best teams in the National Hockey League are super deep down the middle. We would have a Jack Eichel, bona fide elite superstar. You have a Dylan Strome that's 23 years old, that's 6'3", 200-plus pounds, coming into his own. Then you insert a Dylan Cousins, maybe next year, maybe the year after, into the third-line center position.
Now you're 6'3".
And he's 6'3".
You have all your centers are over 6'2",
All your
6'3".
Centers are skilled, they're big, and they can skate.
And they can make plays.
That is I see that as a really, really good mix of big, strong, skilled, good skating centers.
Keep going with your list. Because for time's sake, we have a couple more minutes here, and then we'll get out of here. But I want to finish off your list first.
Patrick Maroon, a year ago, with the St. Louis Blues, won the Stanley Cup. He was a factor. He was a piece to the puzzle. He's a 6'2", 235-pound power forward that you saw him fight Zdeno Chara the other day when St. Louis Blues and the Boston Bruins went, you know, they were like two Rams jamming at each other. There was a brawl in the game. And I'll tell you right now, you know who went after Zdeno Chara? Patrick Maroon. And Patrick Maroon got the best of Zdeno Chara. He's a big man. He's a 25, 30-point guy on the fourth line. He's going to give you 10 minutes a game where he's honest, he's big, he's smart, and he has the ability to make plays. I like him to bring him into the Sabres for our fourth line left winger on a one-year deal. He's 31 years old. I think he's got some game left in the tank. There's no question about it. He would be a guy that I would be bringing in. So now you're bringing in a Josh Anderson who's 6'3", 225. You're hopefully bringing in a Dylan Strome who's 6'3", 200. You're bringing an unrestricted free agent in Patrick Maroon at 6'2", 235. My next two are defensemen.
Do them quick. You want to save them for tomorrow?
I'm going to do them right now, and I'm going to do them quick.
I want you to do what you want.
Brendan Dillon, 6'4", 225. Joel Edmondson from Carolina is 6'4", 215. They're both left-handed defensemen, and they're both big, and they defend. They're defend-first type players. We have some roadrunners. We've got some guys that can get up the ice and move the puck, but I'll tell you this, we need guys that have some size, physicality, that skate well, that can defend first.
Got to go to break here. When we come back, we'll do our buy-sell trade presented by Buffalo Sports, and it'll be about the NHL awards. And then find out if we can see if Craig is going to tell us what he's going to bring in tomorrow to share with everybody from his pile of memorabilia when we return.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Buy, sell, trade presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports on McKinley Parkway where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment. The NHL awards will be given out if the rest of the season is canceled. Buy, sell, trade. I don't know if they'll have an award show, but I think they'll give the awards out. I think they will. They're far enough into the season. Give them out. It's content. You know, give Drysdale his award. Give your Vezina. Give your.
How does it work? Do they go just and vote. Announce them or
vote on the? Oh, I see. Just announce them. However, just you won't be able to have an award show.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I don't know what you do, but maybe you bring the award winners into the Hall of Fame and they take pictures with their. I don't know how it works. I don't want to sit here and try to figure it out. I'm just saying.
I am 100% they should be giving out these awards. You have to understand, a player like Leon Draisaitl played 71 games this year. 71, almost a full season. He has 110 points.
So the Art Ross is obvious.
No question.
The Rocket, not so obvious, but...
The Rocket is the goal scoring, and that would be... I love it. Hopefully... Alex Ovechkin.
Is he tied, though?
He's tied with Pastrnak. I don't care if he's tied.
48, he's, right?
That doesn't mean he lost.
There was a year where
Ovechkin
there was a
should
year.
Get the... He should get the Rocket because he has two games less than Pastrnak. Boom, shakalaka. Love it.
Tomorrow on the show, Marty will be in, and we'll send him a message and ask him to do this as well. But I want you to bring something in from your playing days, memorabilia. Don't tell me what it is or tell me what you're going to bring in tomorrow and talk about it. I'll bring something in. You bring something in, and then the other thing we're going to talk about
the rest of the week, we'll bring.
Yeah, we'll do it through the whole coronavirus, but tomorrow we will also talk about biggest storylines we feel we're missing out if there's no season. See you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.